The question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus is poignant. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Friday, one of the pastors from my Art of Transformational Ministry training that I went to a couple of weeks ago posted a cartoon to our Facebook group, and it looked to be a church council or a session or maybe a PNC, and for the non-Presbyterians in the room, that's a pastor nominating committee. They were interviewing a pastor, and they seemed to be around a conference table. There were church windows in the background, and the caption read, "We're hoping you'll lead us on a journey of transformation without requiring any real changes." I imagine they had some sort of an apology like we have. Be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Back in the days of Jesus. But the truth is, a lot of the time we know to offer an apology or that we need some sort of transformation. But we might say, be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet, and mean at the same time, and I'm not really letting him work on me either, right? Or, I really know I need transformation, but I don't want to make any real changes. As we finish our series today on a closer look at church, we turn to the motto of the Reformation. Ecclesia reformata, semper reformanda. It's Latin. But I bet you can help me figure it out. Ecclesia, church, right? Ecclesia, ecclesiast, church. Reformata, reformed. Semper, always. Reformanda, being reformed. Church reformed, always being reformed. We tend to think of the Reformation as something that happened, if we know our history, in 1517, when Martin Luther went up to the church in Wittenberg and he took his document, which came eventually to be known as the 95 Theses, because the original title of it was too long. So he took his 95 Theses and he nailed them to the door of the church, right? And maybe we think of the Reformation as including John Calvin and Zwingli and maybe even John Knox, but that really only takes us toward the end of the 1500s. The Reformation isn't over. It continues today. Because the full Latin phrase of that motto was Ecclesia reformata semper reformanda secundum verbi Dei. So you know what that means, right? You got it. The church reformed, always reforming according to the word of God. The church reformed, always reforming according to the word of God. We come full circle in our series today and around our wagon. God's word is still speaking and still reforming the church today. Remember when we started this series, I told the story of Fred Craddock's about the pioneer at the general store in Texas, and he went in and the clerk said, "Hey, what's in your wagon?" And he said, "I have a church in my wagon." And so the clerk asked to see the church. And they went out and the clerk goes around the back of the wagon and starts to pick up the tarp, and the man says, "No, no. To see the church, you have to start with this box here under the front seat." And so they pull out the box, and there wrapped in old cloth was a copy of the Bible. "If you want to see the church," the man says, "you have to begin here with the scriptures. In fact," he says, "without this book, there is no church." Well, over the last couple of months, we've circled that wagon, haven't we? We went around and we pulled the tarp off and we took a closer look at the Bible first, but then we looked at liturgy and worship and the pews that we sit in and the cross and the communion table. We looked at the place of God in the midst of evil. We looked at faith and suffering. We talked about confession of our sin. We talked about the offering plates. And we talked about the visible multitude here in the upside down boat and the vision of the multitude in God's boat. We looked last week at the candle lighter. And now we come full circle all the way back around the wagon to the Bible. We are the church reformed, always being reformed according to the word of God. And we are being reformed both as a congregation and as individuals. So Jesus asks us the same question he asks Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? It's the central question of our lives. But maybe we're a little bit like Betty. Betty didn't know how to answer that question. It was an ordinary day, and she was washing the breakfast dishes. And as she was washing the breakfast dishes, she thought she heard something, and so she dried her hands, and she reached over, and she turned the radio down, and she looked out the window. Sure enough, there was somebody there on her front stoop. And so she headed toward the front door, and as she went through the living room, her eyes met the man on the front stoop. He was holding balloons, and he looked oddly familiar. "Well, what in the world?" she muttered to herself. And the man reached for the doorbell. Just as she got to the door, she opened it. He looked like that guy from the Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And so she reached up instinctively, and she just sort of caught her spinning thoughts. Because what would you do if the man from the Clearinghouse was at your door? And so all of a sudden, as she caught her head trying to slow down her spinning thoughts, she had the fleeting thought, "And I didn't even do my hair this morning." Well, she went ahead and opened the door and said, "Did I win? Aren't you the man from TV?" "Betty," the man said. "Betty, don't you recognize me?" She heard herself say, "God?" Well, the answer came from her heart rather than her head. And as soon as the name was out of her mouth, she knew it was true. And he said, "Yes, Betty, I'm here to give you something. Tell me, what would you like from me?" "What do I want from you?" Well, she's stunned. She has no idea. I thought I was supposed to want whatever you want me to want, right? So God chuckles and he says, "Well, let's not answer based on supposed to's. What does your heart desire from me?" That's the central question of our lives, isn't it? At this point, Betty can barely stand up. So she just sort of wraps her hands around her arms like this and tries to warm up because she's got chills. And what does she want from God? Anything at all. And she realizes she's starting to shift her weight back and forth. You know how you do when you're trying to stall and you don't really know the answer? She said, "Well, I don't know. I know what Jimmy would want me to ask for." He'd say, "Honey, choose money. Get enough money so that I can retire. And we'll get a boat. And get enough money maybe so we can get an RV. And while you're getting money, get money so that we can retire to Florida." So God responds. "Is that what you want? Money?" No, Betty shifts. "That's not what I really want. Let me think." At this point, Betty starts trimming her nails with her teeth. And God waits. "I don't know. I know what I used to want," she says. "When I was a little girl, I wanted to be a famous movie star. And I wanted to go to California. And I wanted to wear fancy clothes. And, you know, I can sing a little." "Well, I guess you do know." And God smiles. "So you want to be a famous movie star? That's what you want from me. No, wait. Well, at this point, the heat is starting to come up the back of her neck, and she realizes she's starting to sweat, and her face is red, and she's, I don't know. I know what I should want. I should want for my children to be safe and healthy. I should want for them to find partners and to give me lots of grandchildren, and I do want that, but... So you want health and happiness for your children. Is that what you're asking for? Yes. No. I mean, yes, it's what I want, but it's not what I want. I mean, what I want for me. I don't know what I mean. And as she stammered, her voice started quivering along with her body. And the tears started to well up. And a deep sob overtook her. And she noticed she was sort of clinging to the screen door for support. God reached out, touched her shoulder. "It's okay, Betty," he says. "Tell you what, why don't we go inside and have a nice cup of tea? We'll sit together while you think. Why don't we go inside and have a nice cup of tea? We'll sit together while you think. What do you want me to do for you?" And blind Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." In the midst of the Roman authorities who were blinded by power, the temple authorities who were blinded by fear, the disciples who were blinded by ambition, a blind man wanted to be reformed. He wanted it so badly that he confessed his faith, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me," even when he was sternly warned to be quiet. He was risking his life as he sat by the roadside shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He'd been warned. "You be quiet." And when they tell Jesus that he is calling for him, he says, "Tell him to come." And when he is told that Jesus is calling for him, what does he do? He throws off his cloak and he runs to Jesus. Now, there is so much in that one motion. Throwing off his cloak says everything about this man's faith. Because they're on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a dusty, well-traveled, dangerous road, and it's a mountain pass in the desert. I looked up pictures of it the other day. There is nothing green in sight. It is dirt. It is dusty. Hot in the sun, cool in the night. That cloak was his blanket through the night. And in that hot sun, he could take that cloak and put it over him almost like a tent when he needed to. It held his few possessions that he could tuck in the pockets and kind of hide in there, because as a blind man, he was pretty much without any other recourse if somebody tried to rob him. Most important, though, he spread that cloak out on the ground around him every day as he sat. And it was only as he heard the thump of the coin on the coat that he knew someone had taken enough pity on him to allow him to have a coin to maybe get a meal. Because people didn't touch him. No one was going to come up and put a coin in his palm. They barely even looked at him. And so, as he throws off his cloak, he throws off his security. It's more than a jacket. It's his blanket. It's his tent. It's his bank. And it is his way of knowing that he has gained some sort of revenue to survive. And he throws it off. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks him. "I want to see," he says. It's just not that he's willing to give up everything. He's already given it up. When Jesus says, your faith has made you well, he's already given everything up that he has to give him security. He runs to be reformed, to be transformed. And now he's no longer sitting by the roadside as people pass him by to go and visit God at the temple. He now sees and follows Jesus. We're all a little bit like Betty, aren't we? When God says, what do you want me to do for you? And we're all a little bit like Bartimaeus. We all have blindness. We all have cloaks. And we all have to answer the question, what do you want me to do for you? Here's the good news. God takes us by the arm and says, let's go in. Let's sit down and have a nice cup of tea. And I'll be here with you while you think about your answer. Thanks be to God. Amen.